Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On you, Husky!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
Yes, they're exploded up, up, up to 8 times normal size. That's why Quaker popped rice and Quaker popped wheat are such a delicious treat. Have some for breakfast tomorrow. Once on board the Northern Star, the prisoner Sergeant Preston was taking from White Pass to Vancouver was locked in the brig, and the sergeant and King were free to roam the ship. They spent much of their time on the bridge with Captain Adams, who was an old friend. It was early fall. There was a great deal of fog. And one day, as the Northern Star steamed slowly through Queen Charlotte Strait, King began to bark frantically.
What's the matter, boy?
Something up ahead he doesn't like.
And then the lookout shouted,
"All aboard, drifting off the starboard bow!
Is she in distress, lookout?"
"It's a sailing dinghy, sir. Only one man in her, and he's sprawled over the tiller. Looks to be in a bad way."
"Have speed astern."
"Aye, sir."
The ship stopped, and the lone occupant of the little sailing boat was taken aboard. He was unconscious, but when he had been placed in the sick bay, he began to mumble, and his words seemed to indicate that he had been through a terrible ordeal. The sergeant made careful notes on them. The man remained in a coma even after the ship reached Vancouver, and he was transferred to a hospital. Once that was accomplished, the sergeant delivered his prisoner to Northwest Mounted Police Headquarters, and immediately he was assigned to the case of the mysterious castaway. The newspapers played up the story and ran the man's picture. The following morning, a young American who gave his name as Ted Sheridan asked to see Sergeant Preston at the hospital.
"How do you do, Mr. Sheridan?"
"Well, good morning, Sergeant."
"You believe you know the man we picked up?"
"Yes, sir. He's John Haywood from California, a professor at the university, a colleague of my father's."
"I see."
"My father is Emmett Sheridan. He's rather well known in university circles as an authority on the early history of North America."
"I believe I've read one of his books on the Northwest Indians."
"Well, that's his special field. 2 months ago, he and Professor Haywood and a Professor Fraser started out on an expedition into the Indian country. They should have returned by now, and that's why I'm here, to make inquiries. No sooner had I set foot in Vancouver than I saw Professor Haywood's picture in the paper and read his story. Naturally, I'm more concerned than ever about my father and Professor Fraser. Has Haywood regained consciousness yet?"
"Yes, early this morning."
"Then he's been able to tell you what happened to him? How he happened to be in that open boat?"
"No. Unfortunately, there's complete amnesia. He doesn't know who he is, and he can't remember anything."
"It might help if I would talk to him."
"Well, let's see. He's in this room. Go ahead. He's awake."
"Good morning, Professor Haywood."
"Haywood?"
"Yes. I'm Ted Sheridan. Don't you remember me?"
"No. I never saw you before."
"Well, you've been at our house many times. You and Dad are great friends. Don't you remember the cruise we took to the South Seas last year?
No. I never saw you before. My head. It hurts. I want to sleep.
We'd better let him rest.
Right, Sergeant. Take it easy, Professor. What does the doctor say, Sergeant? How long will this condition last?
There's no telling.
Well, I'll get in touch with the university authorities, and they'll send someone up here to take him home. But I must do something about finding my father.
Of course.
According to the newspapers, Haywood was delirious when you picked him up. Did he say anything that might give you a clue?
He never mentioned your father's name, but I took down everything he said in the hope it might make sense to someone. I have my notes here. Now, for instance, he talked about totem poles.
Oh, that's understandable, Sergeant. That was the primary purpose of the expedition, to classify all the totems used by the Northwest Indians.
Oh. Then there was a great deal of talk about Brooks Gold. That mean anything to you?
Oh, it certainly does.
Seemed to make Haywood violent whenever he spoke of it. He yelled about the curse on Brooks Gold.
Huh? I don't know anything about a curse.
These are some of his exact words. Brooks Gold, I say let it stay buried. Forget it. There's a curse on it. Find it and you'll be murdered. Forget it. Let it stay buried.
I wonder if they did find it.
Is Brooks Gold some sort of buried treasure?
Yes, Sergeant. Last winter, my father found an old journal written by an English explorer called Brooks. He described his capture by a band of Russian pirates who made their headquarters on the coast of British Columbia about 1800. And he also described a great fire which destroyed the headquarters while the pirates were away on a plundering expedition. Brooks was one of the few survivors of the fire. He took the gold which the Russians had stolen from the Indians, loaded it on pack mules, and escaped into the interior. He returned the gold to the Indians, and they held a great council to decide which of the Indian tribes should act as custodian for it. Now, let me think. According to the narrative, there were five tribes represented. The Thunderbird people.
I'm not familiar with them.
Oh, they live in the foothills of northwest British Columbia.
Oh.
My father always referred to them as the Thunderbirds because their favorite totem pole is the one that represented the Thunderbird. They were the first tribe present at this meeting. The second were the Tlaloaks from the coast. Now, their favorite totem is the one that represents the fight with the landowners.
I've seen that many times.
The third tribe came from Queen Charlotte's Island, and they used the burial pole as their totem. The fourth tribe was from the mainland and used the killer whale totem. The fifth tribe used the sun and raven totem. Well, that was the way the journal ended, with a description of the council. The rest of it had been destroyed.
So there was no record of which tribe was elected custodian of the gold?
No, no record, Sergeant. Huh. But early this spring, Dad referred to the journal in a lecture, and he didn't mention it was incomplete. Shortly afterward, it was stolen from his office at the university.
I see. Possibly by someone who intended to look for the gold.
Perhaps. But I read the journal. It wouldn't help much.
Might have been merely a work of fiction.
That's entirely possible, Sergeant. Dad intended to investigate it this summer.
What did your father think about the journal?
He believed it was a record of actual events.
Oh, very interesting. Do you have any idea of what his itinerary was to be?
Oh, yes. I helped him map it out. I'd been with him on several previous expeditions. They were to start out from here and head northwest into the foothills. Their first stop was to be with the Thunderbird Indians. Angatak's the head man in the tribe.
I know him. I know the district, too.
Well, that's where I'm going first, Sergeant. Then I'll follow Dad until I find him.
You should have a police officer along.
What? Would you? Could you make such a trip, Sergeant?
I'll have to consult my superiors. If you were to come with me and request that I go along with you...
I shall, Sergeant.
All right, let's go then.
The commander of the Northwest Mounted Garrison at Vancouver agreed that Sergeant Preston should accompany Ted Sheridan on his trek into Indian Territory. The preparations for the trip took only a few days, and a week later, Sergeant Preston and Ted had reached Angatak's village in the foothills. There, they learned that Professor Sheridan had spent nearly 2 weeks in the village, taking pictures of all the totems and inquiring into the legends of the Great Thunderbird. Angatak answered all the sergeant's questions easily, until he brought up the subject of Brooks Gold.
Did the professor ask you anything about a man named Brooks?
Me not know fella called Brooks.
He was a friend of the Indians a long time ago.
Over 100 years ago.
Ah.
You've heard of him?
Me not know nothing about gold. That's what me tell professor.
What else did you tell the professor?
Me tell him forget gold. Their story, Indian bury gold long time go. Make great oath. Never tell where gold is. Gold bring white men. White men bring trouble.
Well, that isn't true nowadays. We only want to help the Indians. And if the gold should be found now, it would be used to build schools and buy food and medicine and clothing for your people.
That what professor say.
You believed him, didn't you?
Maybe. But Indian forget long time go where gold buried.
Did my father look for it here?
Me show you.
The chief took the sergeant and Ted to a totem pole which stood halfway up the steep slope of a hill behind the village. It was much older than any of the other totems, but in spite of the weathering, the carving was still perfectly distinct.
Oh, a master must have carved this, Sergeant. Do you know what the carving represents?
Well, that's the Thunderbird on top, of course.
Yes. The great Thunderbird who creates the thunder by beating his mighty wings together. The god of storms. The lower figures are the beaver and the bear. The bear stands for your people, Angatak. And the beaver for an alliance you once made with the Basket Bay clan of the Beaver House.
Angatak, no. Professor, come here. Him say if gold buried, Indian put up totem pole, stand guard. Him say this totem pole over 100 year old. Maybe gold buried nearby.
The ground's been dug up recently.
Professor look for gold.
But he didn't find it.
No. Him dig plenty deep. It not Thunderbird that guard gold.
Well, when the professor and his friends had decided that, did he and his friends leave at once?
Which way did he go?
Him start for Tlahuac tribe. Wanna take picture of totem that tells story of fight with land otters.
The Tlahuacs. They're near the coast.
Yes. Did any of your people go with the professor and his party to guide them?
2 brother go. Tanis and Toltec.
We'd like to speak with them.
Only Toltec come back.
Really? Where is he?
Him not talk to you.
Why not, Chief?
Him not talk nobody about what happened on trail.
And something did happen.
Angatak not know.
My father's your friend. Didn't you try to find out?
Toltec call on Thunderbird to protect them. There no way Angatak can make them talk. There no way Sergeant make them talk.
We don't intend to use force on him, but we may be able to persuade him.
Toltec say it bad thing white men start looking for gold. It bad thing for Indian. All Indian must forget professor come to village.
Where is Toltec?
Me take you to him. But him not talk. Him plenty afraid. Bury gold. Make plenty bad medicine.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, fellas and girls, for a delicious breakfast treat tomorrow morning, pour yourselves out a heaping bowlful of taste-tempting Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice, the ones shot from guns. Yep, you'll be glad you did. Now listen, fellas and girls, get ready. A wonderful surprise is coming at the end of the program. A terrific offer you can get that's straight out of the Northwest. Have paper and pencil handy. Now to continue. Sergeant Preston had no opportunity to question Toltec, the young Indian who had acted as the professor's guide on his trip to the Tlahuacs' village. Toltec had disappeared. The sergeant and Ted were shown to the log cabin, which was reserved for distinguished visitors. It had 3 glass windows, 2 in front and 1 in the rear, and it was built on the hillside above the village. From the large rear window, one could see the crest of the hill, and a light was always kept in the window so that travelers returning from the mountains would be welcomed by the promise of hospitality the well-built cabin gave. It was a good thing it was weatherproof, for shortly after dark, a terrible mountain storm lashed the village. Jagged streaks of lightning cut across the sky, thunder crashed, the rain poured down, and a high wind screamed and moaned around the Thunderbird totem pole in front of the cabin.
Don't you like the Thunder King?
It isn't the thunder he objects to. There's someone outside the cabin.
Sergeant, at the window. When the lightning flashed, I saw a face.
No one out here now. An Indian tent?
I'm not sure.
There's someone beside the totem pole.
Hello there. What do you want?
Toltec's not worth anything. We go now.
Toltec? No, come back here. There's nothing to be afraid of. Come in.
You wear red coat. You policeman.
That's right. I'm Sergeant Preston, Northwest Mounted Police, and this is Ted Sheridan, Professor Sheridan's son.
Oh. Sit down over here, close to the fire.
No. I mean, not sit down.
The chief told us you were the professor's guide to the Klawox village.
That's right.
You and your brother Tanos.
Huh?
Well, Ted's worried about his father. Was there an accident on the trail?
No. Not accident. Trouble start after.
What sort of trouble?
Not good for Indian get mixed up in white man trouble.
Does this trouble you're talking about have anything to do with Brooks gold?
Gold buried. Let him stay buried. Tanos, bad Indian.
Your brother? Your brother is a bad Indian?
I mean not talk.
Toltec, when you were guiding the professor's party, did you meet any other white men on the trail?
No.
Oh, it's hopeless.
I don't think so, Ted. Toltec, did the professor reach the Klawox village safely?
That's right.
And afterwards, you and your brother started home. That right?
I mean not talk.
Or did your brother stay in the village?
No.
Then why didn't he come back here with him?
Him listen to bad men.
On the way back here. What did the bad men say?
Toltec tell you, then bad man kill him.
So that's why you're afraid you've been threatened. Well, Toltec, it's my job to find bad men who make such threats and put them in jail. Once they're in jail, they can't hurt you. All you have to do is tell me who these bad men are and where I can find them.
Them take us prisoner on way back here.
Yes?
Them say you watch professor for us. When him find gold, you tell. We get him. Give you plenty. You go back to Klawok village. Watch professor. We stay plenty close.
So Dad was being followed by a band of outlaws.
Go on, Toltec.
Brother, go village. Not me. Me come home.
How many men were there in the band that took you prisoner?
There. Oh!
That was a rifle shot.
Toltec's been hit.
It came from the hill behind the cabin.
Keep away from that window. You make a perfect target for anyone up on the hill. Keep down.
I am. How about it? Is he dead?
No, just a chest wound.
I've had a lot of experience with first aid, Sergeant.
Good, the kit's on the table. See what you can do for him. King and I will see if we can find the man who fired that shot. Come on, boy.
What's the matter?
The whole village is heading this way.
I heard the shot and Toltec's cry.
Why you shoot Toltec?
We didn't. You should know better than that, Angatak.
Angatak, keep promise. Send Toltec to you. Why you shoot him?
The shot came from the hill behind the house.
No Indian have gun. Only you have gun. If Toltec die, you die.
Stay where you are. This cabin is guarded by the Thunderbird totem. I'm calling on the Thunderbird for protection. You know his power on a night like this. Defy him and he'll use his power against you. Let him use it against me if I'm not telling you the truth. Look, use your eyes. The glass in the window is broken. The shot that hit Toltec was fired from the hill behind the cabin. And the man who fired it is somewhere up there now. In the name of the Thunderbird, I order you to follow me and find him while the professor's son takes care of Toltec.
Follow, Sergeant. In the name of Thunderbird.
Sergeant, that bolt of lightning struck a tree up on the hill.
That tree fall to ground. Thunderbird, show power!
Listen, that's a man.
Three fall on them.
Follow me.
The Indian surged up the hill behind the sergeant, straight toward the spot where the old dead pine had been struck by lightning. Screaming stopped. The sounds of the storm filled the night once more. The top of the hill was reached. The tree was found. A flash of lightning showed them the man.
He's dead.
Thunderbird show power. When Toltec come back to village, him call on Thunderbird to guard him. Now Thunderbird kill man who shoot Toltec.
We'll need the help of all your men to lift this tree.
Mene dorna leto mene.
The tree was lifted from the dead man, and his body was carried down to the village. Then the sergeant returned to the cabin to help Ted.
We must save Toltec, Sergeant.
We'll do our best.
The dead man. What did he look like?
Like a Russian to me.
One of the men who took Toltec and his brother prisoner.
Perhaps.
He must have been. And sent back here to make sure that Toltec didn't talk. When he saw Toltec with you, saw your uniform, and realized Toltec would tell you everything...
He didn't have time to tell us much.
That's why we must save him.
There's only one way to do that.
How?
The bullet must come out of his chest.
But you have no instruments.
Only this knife. The blade's thin. It's razor sharp.
Why, you... You dare?
There's no choice, Ted. If the bullet stays in, the boy dies.
Sergeant operated. The slug was removed, and Toltec still breathed. It grew light in the east. The first rays of the sun touched the spread wings of the Thunderbird at the top of the totem pole. And at that moment, Toltec opened his eyes.
Angitok.
Me see. Thunderbird bring him back from land of dead.
How are you feeling, Toltec?
Mato.
Ask him.
A little later, Ted.
The Indian boy's strength returned quickly. That evening, he was shown the body of the man who had tried to kill him. He recognized him.
That one called Boris.
And he was one of the men who took you prisoner.
How
many others were there?
There's six more. All wear beard like this man.
And they plan to follow the professor.
Them say, where professor go, them go. When professor find gold, them take.
And kill my father afterward. They'd have to, Sergeant. It's the only way they'd be safe. Perhaps even now, somewhere between here and Alaska. We must hurry, Sergeant.
We must get all the help we can from Toltec.
We know there were six of them.
And he can tell us what each of them looked like. You will, won't you, Toltec?
Me tell all.
And so, when Sergeant Preston and Ted were ready to leave the village, the sergeant had a complete description of the six men who were following the professor.
All set, Ted?
All set, Sergeant. Easy, boy.
Bye, Angitok.
All Indian wish you good luck.
I have an idea we may need it.
You be plenty careful. There much danger on trail. There evil in heart of men who want gold. Angitok hope Thunderbird fly with you. Keep you safe.
Thank you, Angitok. We have great respect for Thunderbird. Toltec called on him for protection. And in spite of being shot, Toltec is alive and will soon be well and strong again. While the man who shot him, a Russian...
Thunderbird, strike him down!
Yes. Which means that as far as the Russian is concerned, this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. My, what a story! And how well Sergeant Preston knows the Indian legends about the great Thunderbird and other totem poles. And as Sergeant Preston would say, it's a very impressive sight when you look up at the giant wings of the great Thunderbird totem pole. And you won't see these poles anywhere else in the world. They are indeed symbols of the great Northwest.
The Northwest Indians carved these amazing totem poles from huge logs.
Carved them by hand, using only such tools as beaver teeth, whalebone, or sharp stones.
Yet some totem poles are as high as 60 feet tall.
And the carvings of birds, animals, and strange-looking creatures on them, all painted in bright colors, tell fascinating stories about the Indians and their adventures.
And here's the thrilling part, the exciting news for you fellas and girls.
Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice are offering friends of Sergeant Preston a miniature copy of the Thunderbird totem pole you heard about in today's story.
And Thunderbird is just one of five different totem poles that you can get. A complete collection.
The Thunderbird.
The Fight of the Land Otter.
The Burial Pole.
The Killer Whale.
The Sun and Raven.
These five miniature totem poles are scale models, 4 inches high, every one copied from real, authentic totem poles, that you would see today up in the great Northwest.
They're made of pressed wood, hand-painted in beautiful bright colors.
Why, you can build a regular little Indian teepee village around them.
Take them to school when you study Indian life.
And listen, all you do to get the Thunderbird or the whole collection of all five of these totem poles is this.
First, get a package of delicious Quaker-puffed wheat or Quaker-puffed rice.
There are special new packages now at grocers which tell all about these totem poles.
And then you tear off the box top, which has a special handy order blank with a list of the five totem poles right on it.
You just check the totem poles you want. And for every one you check, send 25 cents.
And if you want the whole collection, you send only $1.
Now, whether you want one or all of them, you only have to send one box top from Quaker-puffed rice or Quaker puffed wheat.
Then send 25 cents for each totem pole you want, or $1 for the whole collection.
Send to Totem Poles, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
And here's something extra you get. With your order, you get a little booklet that tells the history and story of each totem pole.
What's more, if these aren't the most exciting miniature totem poles you ever saw, you get your money back.
But there's no time to lose. The supply of these totem poles is limited.
Hurry and get special new packages of swell-tasting Quaker-puffed wheat or rice.
The box top tells you just what to do for any totem pole you want.
Don't wait. Send right away to Totem Poles, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Ted, the man who tried to kill the Indian Toltec must have known you're the son of Professor Sheridan who headed the expedition in search of Brooks' gold.
From what Toltec told us, a gang of Russians are following Dad. And they seem to have others spying on us. I hope when we reach the Klawak village where the legendary and wonderful land otter's totem pole is located that we...
Look, big boulder's coming down the slope. Take cover, quick!
The curse which the Indians seem to think is hanging over the buried gold seems also to be hanging over Sergeant Preston and Ted Sheridan. Can they escape those who are trying to stop them from finding the lost expedition? Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from gun.
Hello, folks. This is your friend Aunt Jemima. How long since you had pancakes? Aunt Jemima pancakes. So light they melt in your mouth. Fix some tonight. They're the lightest pancakes ever because my Aunt Jemima pancake mix is now fluff whipped for extra lightness. Serve folks stacks of Aunt Jemima pancakes. Lightest pancakes anyone can bake. You just add milk and stir. Before you know it, you're a-serving up those Aunt Jemima light pancakes. Those golden stacks of butter-melting pancakes. Folks can eat them morning, noon, or night. There's nothing more tempting in this whole wide world than Aunt Jemima's pancakes light. And say, have some for supper today.
This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, Delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.